When you say big book, is that...
Okay, we just started. The meeting, the recording has just started. We are reading, we're going to start the meeting right now, and we're reading, it's the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today's Friday, May 23rd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page 99, the second paragraph, starting with, if there be divorce or separation, through that one paragraph, ending with, it will be apparent to both parties. Comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Terry G. for the 12 traditions. Reader of the text is Penny L.C., Reader of the Vision for You at the end of the meeting is Dion R., and our backup reader is Vanessa G. Our newcomer greeter will be Christina M., and announcements will be done by Shelley E. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, May 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,460, 22460. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Friday, May 23rd, it's 22,462, 22462. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for your service, and hello, everyone. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thank you so much for your service, and good morning, everyone, and a special warm welcome to all the new people. My name is Terry, and I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a food addict. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 12, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to do service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 99. The chapter is Working with Others. And we are on that second paragraph down, starting with, if there be divorce or separation, ending with, it will be apparent to both parties. So I am going to now ask Penny L.C. to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. It means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it is to the best interest of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent for both parties. And in my own situation, when it came to rebuilding my relationship with my spouse, I needed to honestly consider my perspective. My part included avoiding having any expectations of what it was going to look like going forward. I may not have separated or divorced, but there was definite distance created by my choice of isolating my significant other had become my food. There were other considerations as well, looking at my truth and the reality of the situation of how I will stay recovered. I learned I wouldn't or couldn't stay recovered based on what anyone said or did, or anyone else, or because of anyone else. My focus needed to be on my thoughts, words, and actions. Focusing on recovering, working my program, and being the best person I could be. That was my new attitude and spirit that I needed to take on and stay true to. Keeping my higher power close so that I wasn't walking through it alone. I knew I had the support from the connection with the God of my understanding. And bottom line, it was to live and let live and to keep doing my program. You know, you hear the phrase a lot. How do you get anybody to change in your life? You recover, because if I'm focusing on me, just by doing that, others will take care of themselves. I mean, I had to really work hard at realizing it wasn't up to me to change, you know, or control or try to, you know, do any, you know, manipulate anybody else around me. I needed to focus on me and my work. And as a result, I have seen the change in my family. And I have come to appreciate them for who they are. You know, they're not perfect and neither am I. That has been a gift that we could come together on that basis, accepting each other as we are, in all of our imperfections, and still loving each other. And today, I have a completely different relationship, and I'm very this program and my recovery and my. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny. Excuse me. Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So before I take a list of names, if you've shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any Vision for You meeting, please hold off today and let others share. When you share, please give me your name, first initial of your last name, and where you are calling from. I'll take a list. Who would like to share?
Bruce E.
from Connecticut.
I heard Bruce E. I know Bruce is from Florida. Who's next?
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Thank you, Margaret. Who else would like to share? All you do is press star one if you'd like to share.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Thank you, Joan Marie.
Welcome.
Anybody else? All right, let's get started with these three. Bruce E. from Florida, Margaret O. from Connecticut, and Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Bruce, good morning to you. You are up.
Good morning. I'm glad to be up. Thank you. And let's see. I don't hit all home runs, but I try to hit base. I try to get on first base anyway. So, Bruce E., I'm recovered. I'm down in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area, Sanibel Island. And so it says in here, let's see. The man should be sure of his recovery. And then it says, if their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis since the former did not work. Okay, so I'm in my second marriage. And thank God for that. I'm glad it's not my third, fourth, fifth. But, you know, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But anyway, I was an addict in my first marriage, and my wife was an addict. We were both addicts. And we came down, we moved down to Florida from Illinois and 45 years ago and said, yeah, okay, we're going to have a big house. We're going to have three or four businesses. We're going to have three or four kids. We're going to have all our kids in private schools. We're going to make all this money and everything's going to work out, and we're still going to be addicts, you know. So obviously none of that worked out. And that marriage was an absolute shipwreck. It was a plane crash into a shipwreck. And she was looking for, I was looking for maturity. She was looking for adult supervision. We were just kids. We weren't mature. And the marriage didn't work, and it was difficult. That was one of the toughest things I ever went through. And I really believe I had to go through that in order to get where I'm at now today. I really learned from that situation. And that my next marriage, now I've been married 41 years, and this marriage has been pretty good. But I needed to build it up on that basis of that failed marriage. And that really helped me out. Whatever I did in that first marriage, I didn't do in a second one. And I just really worked on recovery. It says here the man should be sure of his recovery. I just really worked hard after that divorce and worked hard on recovery. And throughout this marriage, I've worked really, really hard on recovery. And it's got to be on a better marriage since the former one did not work. Former one did not work. So I was in this first marriage, and I knew it was a disaster. I didn't know what to do about it. And I just did not know what to do. And so she left and moved back
just
to Illinois.
Just a reminder.
Said, that's it. Oh, thank you. And I called her and said, hey, you want to come back? She said, no. And we did an amends with each other. And that was it. That's about the last time I talked to her. So that was good. That's good. We parted in peace. So thank you. I passed.
Thank you, Brucey from Florida. And up next is Margaret O. from Connecticut. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Thanks for your moderation of the meeting and everybody who's doing service and for the share so far. Margaret, compulsive overeater, recovered in Connecticut. This is a beautiful paragraph, and it strikes right to what is up for me this morning. I woke up and all these thoughts kind of started springing to mind about my family relationships, which are, you know, challenging for me. I'm not married. I have two divorces. I was an addict in both marriages, but recovered now. And I just love this. The previous share talked about the same sentences that kind of jumped out at me. Should be sure of his recovery. I love saying recovered because it's kind of like, yep, it's a done deal. I've made that decision, and that decision is that my higher power is driving the bus, and it's not me who's driving the bus and winding up in a ditch. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis since the former did not work. You know, I was tidying up some things, and I came, you know, my God can is sitting here, and I said, oh gee, I haven't looked in this in a long time. I wonder how many things are in here. And I opened it up and I started going through them, and lo and behold, you know, there's still ones in there, prayers to ask for my family relationships, my sibling relationships to be healed, because there's been some rifts in the last couple of years, just circumstantial stuff. And it's very painful. So I've done this thing of like avoiding them, you know, and it talks about this, you know, sometimes it is in the best interest of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Yeah, I mean, but then at some point I've got to reengage. And I love this. I mean, my HP is like just gently instructing me in this paragraph. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. It's like, I want that, but I have to work for it and stay in spiritual fit spiritual condition means asking my higher power for direction, and I am getting it so much more clearly now through this, you know, the vision and big book approach to the steps. The connection is so much more real, and I notice my old way of thinking of like striving for recognition or, you know, wanting to avoid being hurt, wanting to be approved of and all this. And then I just kind of settle into, okay, that's not the direction I should
gentle
be.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. It's just that gentle prompting of my higher power that is going to set the tone and take the lead. So thanks for being here, everybody. And I pass.
Thank you, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Next, we have Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And then I'll take another list and tell everybody where we are. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning. Thank you for everyone's share so far and your service. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God, totally God. A power greater than myself has restored me to sanity. Is my life perfect? No. Will it ever be perfect? No, but the acceptance is there. And sometimes I balk about it, but I know that my God will take care of everything that concerns me. All right, so I'm just going to take parts of the sentences. A new way of life, a better basis, the former did not work, what means a new attitude and spirit all around. Continue my program day by day. Okay, so what it says to me that my way didn't work because I tried to figure everything out and push forward with what I thought I needed and wanted. And I don't do that for the most part today. I ask God to shortcomings when they pop up and recognize them now. I never did. I was always looking at the other person. If you didn't do this, I wouldn't do that. No, that's not true. So when I see jealousy or any negative thought or feeling come up, I immediately say, I recognize it, and I say, that's ugly, I don't want it, I don't think that way, and God, please take it. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while, but most of the time it's pretty well goes fast. So I'm just so grateful because it's a new way of life. This life is so beautiful. When I walk through the steps, live the steps, and have conscious contact with a power greater than myself who knows all and who loves all. And so if I see through his eyes, then I can see clearly. Thank you so much for letting me share. Everybody have a blessed day. I pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jill Marie. I'm from Nevada. Thanks. Sorry, I was unmuting. Okay, so before I take another list of names, I'm going to let everybody know where we are. We're on page 99 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that second paragraph in the Working with Others chapter. If there be divorce or separation, through one paragraph ending with, it will be apparent to both parties. And if you've shared within the last couple of days on Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you hold back and let other people share. So we value your experience, and we would love to hear people share. Who would like to share? Let me take a list of names, please.
Liz E. from New York.
Liz E. from New York.
From Georgia.
Dion R.
Dion R.
From Georgia.
Donna B.
Is it Donna?
Yes, Donna B. from Denver.
Gotcha, Donna, D-A-N-A, yep.
Thank you.
Okay, who else would like to share? I got Lizzie, Dion R., and Donna B. All right, we're going to do three at a time then today. Let's do Liz E., you're up from New York. Good morning. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Liz E. from New York, and I am so thrilled to be sharing. I am an avid listener to this meeting because I work nights and I happen to be awake, and I'm so thrilled to share. And this paragraph means probably the most to me in the last year than I think almost any other paragraph in this whole book, because my marriage was such a disaster when I came back to program almost 3 years ago. I remember being abstinent for 3 days, and my first 3 days abstinent, and I was doing some stretching and I was relaxing, and I burst out in tears because the numbing effect of the food wasn't there anymore. And I just felt the weight of how damaged my marriage was and how powerless I was over so many things in my life, especially my marriage. And that sponsor that I had in those early days, I said, I can't handle living here with this man. And I've talked about, you know, separating very early on in my abstinence, and she thankfully encouraged me not to do that, to work my program and not do anything rash. But about a year and a half afterward, separation did happen, and separation lasted for 4 months, and then I did come back home. But the 4 months needed to happen because I needed to look at me, and I didn't have the distraction of other people and other people's drama to blame, and I had to look at myself, and a great psychic change was happening, and it was a very, very good thing for me at that time. And so that you see why this paragraph means so much. But it says, if there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get back together. I needed to take time to work on me, and I did. And you know, there was a lot to it, and it was a very painful thing. And I had said earlier, my marriage was so unmanageable. Because my marriage to me had everything to do with me telling everybody else what to do, and they weren't doing it. And it felt like that's what caused the unmanageability. But getting away from that whole scenario, my eyes were opened. And I am so grateful for this program. And I appreciate Sharon. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Lizzie from New York. Thank you so much for sharing. Up next is Dion R. from Georgia, followed by Donna B. from Denver. Dion, good morning.
Good morning, Lauren. Thank you for your service, as well as everyone else on Vision for You. Yes, I can identify in with if there be divorce or separation. Usually it was because of my food or my attitude. I remember getting married, being an Overeater is Anonymous, and a lot of people helped me. So beautiful, got a beautiful wedding and a recovery environment and outcomes, the snacks and everything else. You know, oh, I've arrived, right? And the gift that, no, we hadn't arrived. But after slowly trying to moderate, and mind you, I was abstinent, I was not in recovery. I hadn't recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body like I did June 23rd, 2012. So being in the midst of that while we got married, I gained weight and he went into his disease. I think, I know me, that we had arrived and the outcome, the copper slippers, and we can chill, right? I rest on my laurels. I did not work the program. Long story short, we both went into our disease. It took over, and we had a hard time, like, swimming through muck, trying to find our way back in the recovery rooms. I made it back, and he made it back just before he passed. But the gift is, he told me he was grateful that we didn't get back together sooner than what he kept suggesting. And the only thing that did that, I talked to a sponsor. I was working the steps dearly, and she said, I don't have any That's what I love about the program of recovery. I don't have any good sponsor. I don't have any experience in that, but you might want to call your local da-da-da-da, and they help me, you know, a place to help me make a better decision. And today, we both were glad, and he's still forever in my heart. But that month he got sober before he left, he thanked me, you know, that we did not get back together. And today, our spirits are connected. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. And I didn't eat over it. Did not eat over. I forgot to say that. I did not eat over it and have been on the road to recovery since then. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of this beautiful solution.
Thank you, Dion R. Thank you so much. That was Dion R. from Georgia. Up next is Donna B. from Denver. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna, spelled D-A-N-A-B, from Denver. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I don't have experience with divorce or separation, but what I hear in the overarching theme of this paragraph is that no rules can be laid down, number one, which is something that I know that addicts are often accused of having black and white thinking, but in my disease, I long for black and white thinking. I want there to be a right answer and a wrong answer and rules and algorithms that can assure and guarantee the outcome that I desire. And this tells me that no rules can be laid down. Not only can no rules be laid down, but the only way that I can live is by living in my program day by day. That constant practice of asking God for inspiration, the next right thought or action, thy will, God, not mine, be done. And there are so many promises that come from living in this way of life, constantly pausing and seeking that inspiration and allowing God's care and protection and wisdom to guide me through anything that happens in my life. And I don't always choose that, which is unfortunate. I still have that longing for rules, right, wrong, gripping on to the outcomes that I desire, whether that's good for me, whether that's good for my spouse, whether that's good for my family, whether that's good for all the people around me. So I appreciate the reminder that I see in the big book over and over and over again to just stop and pause and think and pray and be inspired. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Denver, Colorado. Okay, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience and strength too. We are on page 99 of the Big Book. Second paragraph, if there be divorce or separation, through that one paragraph, ending with, it will be apparent to both parties. So if you'd like to share, please give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
I'm happy to share. It's Maria A. in Hamilton.
Maria A. in, I'm sorry, Hamilton?
Hamilton, Canada.
Oh, Canada. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hi, it's Marty M. in New Jersey.
Marty M. in New Jersey. Great. Anybody else? We have plenty of time.
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Might well be three.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is D in Illinois.
D, what's the initial of your last name, please?
F is in Frank.
Okay, DF from Illinois. All right, that's a great lineup. All right, if everybody would press *1 to mute your phone, we are going to have Maria A. from Canada. Good morning, Maria. Maria, please press *1 to mute your phone, to unmute your phone.
Thanks so much. Yes, I got it a little mixed up there. Thanks so much. That was me coughing. Okay, so so grateful to be here. I'm Maria A. I'm a compulsive eater. I live in Hamilton, Ontario. And I love this book. And this chapter in particular has a lot of, you know, good advice on how we manage not just our working with others, but also good information for how I can manage my own life. And the things that I circled were, what I love about how they wrote this book is that even in paragraphs where they're talking about, you know, other people or how we can be of service in the world, there always are little kernels of reminders of what the program really is. What I circled was, you know, a new way of life, a better basis, a new attitude and spirit all around. Continue the program day by day. So even though this is a paragraph about, you know, divorce and separation, and basically it's a paragraph about relationship, in this case marital relationship. But, you know, they give us clues which really remind us that what happens is that we have a spiritual transformation, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I also underlined better basis, right? Something that, you know, is better than it was for me when I was in the food. And in that respect, I find that it's really quite a miracle that it doesn't really matter. I haven't had a divorce or a separation. I married late in life. I believe program and the recovery work that I was doing, you know, in my 30s, late 20s and 30s, I'm now 60, sort of enabled me to be recovered well enough to be aware of my behaviors and making decisions around relationships that allowed me to actually meet the man that I ended up marrying in my 40s and have children with and, you know, am still married to and I'm grateful for and have a wonderful relationship with. So I do really believe that this program is a wonderful tool, a wonderful way of life. And I am quite convinced that either A, I wouldn't have been alive, or B, I certainly would have made a lot of different choices that could have resulted in different experiences in my relationships and certainly our primary marital relationship. And that being said, I still have a lot of work to do to make sure that my current relationship stays well, because I'm the addict in the family and my husband is not. But anyway, these are good reminders. This is a new way of life that I'm living. It's a better basis. It's a new attitude and spirit all around. And I continue my program. My program is a program of spiritual recovery one day at a time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maria A. from Canada. Perfect timing. Okay, up next we have Marty M. from New Jersey. Good morning, Marty.
Hi, good morning. I'm Marty M. from New Jersey. Thank you for your service. I kind of tuned into, you know, the better basis part of the reading and a new attitude and spirit all around. And a new way of life. I'm currently working through the steps, and I'm working on my fourth step. So I just recently went through like resentments and I don't know, of course, but my wife was one of them. I think that one of the things why I need to keep working my program day to day is because I need, like, my disease causes me to isolate. Like, I want to be left alone. I want to, even like when I'm like in the kitchen preparing food for the day or a meal, it seems like I have to be, you know, like that's a place to engage with your family. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I want this part of the counter space, like, and my wife will come by and take a mug out or something, a cupboard, and sort of get in my way. And lately my reaction to it has been to kind of like give her space and then walk away. But sometimes, you know, and come back later. But then sometimes I think it's really, you know, strange behavior. It's like, I think about living in a, you know, in any community, whether, you know, be a marriage or like just anywhere where you're living with people, like you've got to get along and be able to, you know, kind of like reside in the same space. And it provides even opportunities to have, to build a relationship. And so that's something that I'm working more on. And it requires, like, you know, a new way of life, a better attitude, keep working my program, and to look for opportunities to listen and slow down and be available is what I've been picking up a lot from the work I've been doing in program, and to be present to others, to not be selfish in that way. So I think that's all I have. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marty M. from New Jersey. Up next is Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Good morning, Mary Lee.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Through God's grace and mercy, I am absent for today. And my first marriage was very much of a learning opportunity. I thought it was Steve McQueen working as a bartender. and it was 6 of the longest years of my entire life. And then my long-term marriage was someone who waited for me to get over all my foolishness, was his comment, which I thought was quite nice. But in that time, I found recovery, 38 years from alcohol, 37 years from marijuana, 36 from cigarettes, and 2.5 blessed recommitted abstinence now. And I think spirituality for me is the ability to get my mind off myself. And lots of stuff happened. My first marriage, our 54-year-old daughter had a heart attack a few months ago, and we had not talked in about 30 years. I made my amends to him early in my program. Mostly it was my mouth. I couldn't keep it, you know. My opinions, I thought, you know, everyone was entitled to my opinion. And he made his amends to me. And it was really a beautiful moment. And we're both in program. I think he's about 5 years behind me in sobriety. And what a blessing to have this blueprint for living, you know, and having service and joy. And I'm about to go on an RV trip. I'm 8 weeks out of a soldier surgery, and this time my kids and my sweetie stepped up for PT twice a day. So what took me 4 months to do something 3 years ago on the other shoulder took me 5 days, and I'm happy, I'm worthy, I'm enough, and I have joy, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. All right, DF from Illinois. I think you'll be our last share. Good morning, Dee.
Hi, yes, this is Dee, and I'll try to speak a little louder. I feel kind of weak right now. I had...
I can hear you.
Okay, good. A right knee replacement. wasn't done this past Wednesday. So, I mean, I can't seem to get past the pain, no matter how many pain pills they've given me. But it is loosening up a little bit. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'd be a basket case without it. I have a sponsor. We had been working on step 11. And it's so good to hear your shares. Helps me to feel connected and to have hope. Sometimes I was still getting back into like one or two of my red light foods, but this has definitely taken that away. There's no way for me to get any, and it would be not proper for me to have my husband go for anything. But I'm so grateful for all the help I got at the hospital. They were very gracious and answered every question, all reassurance, and also the help my husband's been giving me before program, which I've been in a long time. Gratitude was not something on my list. So hearing all of your shares today has been very helpful. I've already talked with my sponsor today, and I have so many wonderful people checking in on me in and out of the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thanks, Dee from Illinois. We hope you get better soon. We actually have 1 minute left if anybody would like to share for 1 minute and be our last person to share. Anybody want to take a minute?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a minute. I just jumped in. I'm not sure.
Hey, David. David, we're in Working with Others, page 99, talking about if there be divorce or separation, ending with when the time for living together has become apparent to both parties.
Okay.
Talking about working with others, about relationships. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I know before when I was in the food, I was like very, you know, very into myself and not really sociable. I've never really been a social creature. And then, you know, I got married and then I found a beautiful wife. She says that, she was in the OA and I tried it and got into it. And then I got into like the fellowship part of it. And it's like a really big eye opener. You know, it helps me connect with people, socialize. And it really is a blessing. It helps me stay out of myself and help people. Helps me stay recovered. Every time I need you know, and it gets my mind off of it, off myself. So it really helps. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Perfect timing. David, I'm from Florida. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. It's now time to close the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dion R. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Good morning again. Hi, and thank you again, all who share. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize. Wait, hold on. Sorry about that. I forgot to get that background noise with that speaker on. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him. In your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, the answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.